Good evening, everybody. I would like to thank all the pastors for giving me this opportunity to preach here this evening. Yesterday, when we were sharing the gospel, the last person whom I met was the Seventh-day Adventist. I said, we go to the church every day, in the morning for the Bible college, and in the evening for all the other activities of the church. So this evening, I would like to talk about the topic, which is others. O-T-H-E-R-S, others. Pastor and recently shared about one another. This word in Greek is known as eleon. So let's read a scripture portion. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 to 6. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, therefore fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. For then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are to the household of faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this verses. Speak to us this evening, God. We have come here to hear from you. Bless this time, God, and we pray for the outreaches which are remaining, that you would bless those outreaches and help us to speak to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we'll go to verse 9. It says, and let us not go weary doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. So doing good is towards God, it's also towards self, and it's also towards others and the church. So we get weary, physically we get weary, spiritually we get weary. Sometimes we are weary because of the fruitless toil which we are doing. Then there is also opposition from the people who need to help. So we get weary because of all those things. But then it says, Bible says, in due time we will reap. And that is there is a time of sowing, but then there is also a time of reaping. And in due time, that is the right time, we will reap what we have sown. And each one will gather for himself his own sowing. That's what the Bible says. But let us do good. That is what is the most important part. Bible says, let's do good. Not only to the people whom we know, but also to the other people whom we don't know, we can also help them. So in Luke chapter 6 verse 31 and Matthew chapter 7 verse 12, we know what the Bible says, that do unto others as you would have them to do to you. That's Luke 6:31. And in Matthew 7:12, it says, so in everything do to others what you would have them to do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. And in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35 says, John is writing, he's saying, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So in this Christmas season, when we are thinking about others, I was thinking about if God the Father would have not thought about us, he would have not sent his son Jesus on this earth. And that is why, because he sent his son Jesus to this earth, that we are being saved. When you think about the wise men who came and gave the gifts to Jesus, they could have kept the gifts to themselves, but they brought it and gave it to Jesus. And as Pastor also shared about Mary giving a body to Jesus so that we can have the Messiah. And she did not think about herself, about the shame what she was going through, but she gave us that, she gave her body so that the Savior can be born. So this evening the question is, how is our life? Are we thinking about ourselves, or are we thinking about others? So there are two things what happens is when we think about others is, one thing is I think I am better than others. And the other thing I think is I am not good as the other person. So we don't have to think that way. We just have to think how God thinks about us. When we think how God thinks about us, we will be able to think about the other person in the same way. So I was thinking about this, that the, we can see the God's heavenly mirror. And it is from A to Z, I have written down. So it's God's heavenly mirror. When we look at God's heavenly mirror, we will be able to see others in the same way. The first one, A, accepted in Christ and adopted in God's family. That's Ephesians 1:5. B, born again with the spiritual birth. John chapter 3, verse 3 to 5. C, child of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. 4, D, that is destined for glory, Romans 8:29 to 30. E, endowed with the new heart and a new spirit, Ezekiel 36:26. F, forgiven of all my sins by the riches of Christ's grace, Ephesians 1:7. 7, granted every spiritual blessing by God's glorious grace, Ephesians 1:3. And H, heir of God's kingdom and his riches forever, Galatians 4:5. I, indwelled by the Holy Spirit who makes my body his temple, for 1 Corinthians 6:19. J, jewel of Jesus, our jewel, Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. K, kept by the power of God, 1 Peter 1:5. L, led by the Holy Spirit and freed from the law, Romans 8:37. M, much more the objects of Father's care, Matthew 6:26 and 30. N, new creation in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17a. O, our old past life becomes obsolete, 2 Corinthians 5:17b. P, precious in God's sight and protected by God, Isaiah 43:1-4. Q, qualifies to share in God's inheritance, Colossians 1:12. R, rescued from the domain of Satan's darkness, Colossians 2:13a. Set free by the truth, John chapter 8, verse 31. T, transformed into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, Colossians 1:13b. U, unconditionally loved by Jesus, Jeremiah 31:3. V, vessel of honor with a new vocabulary filled with God's plan, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. G, God's, and W is God's workmanship of man, his masterpiece. X is, oh, we become like Jesus, that is the Xerox copy of Jesus in heaven, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Y is Yahweh's treasure, Zechariah 2, verse 5. And Z is Zoe life, abundant life, Romans 8:11. So when we have all these things in our lives, we have this heavenly mirror. And if you're not having this heavenly mirror, we cannot see others in the same way. I have image for you, and that is our old heart. We don't have to look at that. So these are all the animals before we got saved, all these things we had in our life. The heart is deceitful. Can I have the next slide, please? So the next one is, all these animals are no longer there in the next chart, because all these animals talk about everything what we had in our life. I don't have time to go into all those things. It's like a tortoise speaks about laziness, fox speaks about deceitfulness, tiger speaks about anger and all those things. Can I have the next slide, please? So it says that all the animals are no longer there now. When we received Christ, automatically all the animals have disappeared. So in the book of Nehemiah, we see the people were building the walls, but we see one person who is Sambalat, how do you pronounce, I don't know, but he was resisting the work of God. So whatever Satan does is he wants to resist the work of God. Philippians chapter 2 verse 4 says, when Jesus was on the cross, like Philippians chapter 2 verse 4 says, let us look unto the interest of others, but not, let us look for, not for our own interest, but for the interest of others. Jesus on the cross also did not think about us, but he was thinking about others. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 6, it says, be imitators of me, just I am also imitator of Christ. As Michael Beautiful said on Sunday, that we have a role model, that is Jesus Christ. We are not following anybody else, but we are following the role model, that is Jesus Christ. And lastly, I want to read a small poem which was written by one of the person who attended the General Booth's ministry, that is Salvation Army's ministry, and he was not well for the purpose for which they were called together. So he just wrote a small telegram which says, "Dear missionaries and others," and he signed up with that. The poem goes like this: "Others, Lord, help me to live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be, help me to live for others, that I may live for others, that I may live like Thee. Let self be crucified and slain, buried deep and all in vain. May efforts be to rise again, unless to live for others. And when my work on earth is done and my new work in heaven begins, may I forget the crown I have won while thinking still for others. Amen."
That was a good word, wasn't it? Nice. I was wondering, who was in that picture that was shown on the... Is that Leo? No, I'm just... Did you see peacock there? There was a peacock there. Pride. You know, some people stutter like a peacock, you know. So, yeah. It is actually one of the meanings of the word Olsen nature. It means animal nature. It actually means animal nature. So if you don't get to go to the zoo, it's okay. It's okay. We understand things better with our animal nature. Okay, we will turn to the Gospel of Luke for a few minutes, and then after the message, take the offering. Luke chapter 1. It says, and after, verse 24, "And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she was shy. You know, she hid herself 5 months. Can you imagine that? She probably stuffed herself with a lot of winter clothes and made sure the bulge was not evident, you know. Like, you know, she hid herself 5 months. Saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." Is that amazing? "My reproach among men has been taken away." And it was at that time cultural that if a woman did not have a child, she was looked down upon. But God doesn't do that. God doesn't think that way. God doesn't relate to us that way. It was like a taboo, you know. And she was fine. I mean, maybe she was going through that reproach, but then when she conceived, she couldn't probably control her excitement. 5 months, imagine. So Zachariah, he's already dumb. He can't speak, and he has to do everything for her. Getting up in the morning, cutting vegetables, and, you know. He said, "I just finished my service in the tabernacle, in the temple, and you are making me, you know, do everything." She said, "Do it, honey. You know, you got to do it, 5 months at least." Now, of course, after that, she couldn't conceal that. Now, and in the sixth month, so probably between John the Baptist and Jesus, it was a six-month period. John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus. Okay, because after the... conversation that angel Gabriel had with Mary, she beautifully said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord," referring to yieldedness, "and be it unto me according to your word," in verse 38, referring to obedience. When she said yes, many scholars believe at that very moment conception happened. Okay, so, and in the sixth month, angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Now look at this. What did Elizabeth say? What was said concerning Elizabeth? Reproach taken away. And what was said concerning Mary? You are blessed. One is a picture of mercy. The other one is a picture of grace. Your reproach is taken away. It's a picture of the mercy of God. And then you are blessed among women. The state of blessedness we have because of the grace of God. Okay. Now, and then after that, what we find is in verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Okay. They had their way of saluting each other. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of your salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. John the Baptist woke up from his sleep. He was like, you know, he just got up and he decided to go to the gym that day. Did a flip. 45. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And then we have the Magnificat of Mary. Now this is a beautiful picture of what can happen because of the holy seed. Oh, this is a beautiful picture of what can happen because of the young child, Jesus. You have communion between Elizabeth and Mary. And Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. Imagine, 3 months. Sometimes when guests come to a house after 2 days, when are you leaving? Here there was no problem. And I'm sure Elizabeth took care of Mary also. She stayed 3 months and then she went back to Nazareth. It's a picture of communion between Elizabeth and Mary, and Holy Spirit bearing witness to it. Because she was filled with the Holy Spirit, and the babe in the womb of Elizabeth leapt for joy. Now, this is a beautiful picture of what can happen between two believers because of the holy seed, isn't it? Between believers in the body of Christ who are redeemed by the blood of Christ, who are regenerated by the Holy Spirit. We function as a body, we function as a family. And this is a beautiful picture of what can actually happen in the context of the body. You know, Pastor Shibili, some time back, he said, God has given us the body of Christ as an amazing insulation from the world system. Isn't that interesting? So we have number one in the body of Christ. There is God's calling on our lives. We all have a specific calling by grace, isn't it? Elizabeth was called for a particular purpose. Mary was called for a particular purpose. But both were called totally by grace. And we have a calling as believers in Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Now, because we are called, so we are regenerated, but we also sense we have a calling. And every time we give heed to the word of God, we give heed to the message spoken from the Bible, in some unique way, there is the visitation of God in our lives. Elizabeth was visited. Mary was visited. Is that amazing? In Job chapter 10 verse 12, Job said, You have granted us life and favor, and your visitation has preserved my spirit. Is that beautiful? Your visitation has preserved my spirit. So we have God's visitation. And by the way, it is not different even today in some way or the other. Jesus is ascended. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. And this body is a habitation of God through the Holy Spirit. Expect God's visitation in your life. We may think we are not too qualified for that because yesterday we ate a lot. That's okay. God will wake you up early the next day. Expect God's visitation. Elizabeth probably had no clue. You know, imagine Zachariah going to the temple and burning the altar of incense. Was he expecting something? Probably not. But then when he came out, people discerned that he had seen an angel. He had seen the vision of an angel. Expect that. When I say that, remember, don't bypass the importance of logos in your life and only keep looking for remas. If that is the case, then Satan can counterfeit our expectation. I'm not referring to that. Have your mind in the scripture systematically. Dwell on the nature of God in a systematic way. Meditate. Put your mind in the word. And you know, the season will be the most amazing season. And we will see in some unique way the visitation of God in our spirits. It could be any time, anywhere, and it could be even consistent for a long season, because God visits his people who are called by his name. Okay? Now, following the visitation that happened in their lives, each one received an impartation. So you have your position, being called by grace, God's visitation upon our spirits, God speaking to us, and following that, what was the impartation Elizabeth received? So she understood something about the mercy of God, isn't it? There could be something specific God could be speaking to us all the time. And it could be a specific rima. And we are called to live by every rima that proceeds from the mouth of God in Matthew chapter 4 verse 4. And our decisions of faith in Luke chapter 5 verse 5 is because of the rimas that God speaks to us, because we are occupied with the logos and living in proper meditation of the scripture. And the Spirit of God will visit us with a rima that could be a very specific spoken word from God for the season. Can we have an expectation this season? Yes, we do. It's not just like, yeah, Christmas. I've seen many Christmas and now, you know, oh, it's just another Christmas. No, no, no. This could be the season. This could be the day. God could speak. Elizabeth probably never expected that. And Mary was also doing her own duty and like, you know, and then before you know it, she is also like troubled. Who is this person talking to me? Angel Gabriel. It's like, wow. Fullness of time. Expect a visitation in God, in your life by God. Expect a visitation. Get occupied with who you are in Christ without condemnation. We are chosen. We are called by grace. And as God's mirror was spoken by Leo beautifully, get occupied with the spiritual blessings you have in Christ. And there will be the visitation of God. This visitation of God will be followed by a specific impartation of God's nature for our lives. For at that particular moment, the impartation of God's nature for Elizabeth was mercy, reproach taken away. Isn't that amazing? What a life to live without, you know, without thinking in terms of being reproached. Like, you know, condemnation taken away, shame taken away, fear taken away, guilt taken away, anything that brings reproach. And that was a specific impartation to the spirit of Elizabeth. And she couldn't hide it beyond 5 months. Can you imagine getting a rima? You're so excited. You're happy but shy at the same time. Why? What happened? I got an impartation from God. So you don't? No. She said, my reproach among men is taken away. What was the specific impartation Mary received? She understood a beautiful impartation of the grace of God for her life, a state of blessedness. You know, the nature and character of God is very specific to each one of us based on, remember, the need doesn't determine our calling, but the need could in some way determine the kind of the need that we have before God could in some way determine the kind of impartation that the Holy Spirit is faithful to give it to us from the throne of grace. Expect that visitation and receive that impartation. God is faithful to do that. Now, both receive an impartation, isn't it? Mary receives it. Then Elizabeth receives it. They meet together. What's happening between them? This fellowship. They're not pulling each other's hair and measuring whose hair is longer. No, none of those things. It results in fellowship. Remember, when we are in a place of receiving impartation from the throne of grace, it will automatically result in fellowship in the body of Christ. This is what makes relationships very dynamic. Like, she had a specific word from God. Elizabeth had a specific word from God. Mary had a specific word from God. And then both meet together, they salute each other, and John the Baptist wakes up from a sleep. And isn't that beautiful? This is exactly what happens in the body of Christ. When we are in this place of getting occupied with God's amazing, the position that He has given us as a total gift of grace, and the faithfulness of God in visiting us at times, because we are living, the secret of staying weak before God and needy before God is such that we would be visited by the presence of God in our lives with a specific rhema, resulting in a specific impartation into our hearts. And that in turn, see, that is why we don't need to produce fellowship. We can plan moments of fellowship, but we don't need to try and produce it. Fellowship is the result of an impartation we've received. When we are occupied with the headship of Jesus Christ, it will result in a certain kind of an impartation, and it will contribute to the fellowship. And this fellowship through the Spirit of God is very spontaneous, and we don't have to try and produce it. We can plan times of fellowship. Yesterday we planned a time of fellowship in Pastor Anil's house, but we didn't need to produce fellowship. The fellowship was so spontaneous. Okay, there are other factors that contributed to it, but we won't go into that. But because of the time of joy we had in sharing the gospel and seeing the response of people to the word of God and the joy of these people, and like, you know, it's like this, you are sharing the gospel and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, like Elizabeth. And you come across with, and then you are shocked, a word of wisdom came out of your mouth. And something in the conversation, something that you said in the conversation arrested that person. He will never go, he has never gone empty after that. He has never gone empty because he's stuck with something. What happened to us? And now we carry this impartation in our hearts. We come together and our fellowship is dynamic. And then it says in verse 45, there will also be a performance of those things which are told of from the Lord. Something God speaks to us, it results in, it's an impartation into our spirits. It results in fellowship among the believers. And there is definitely going to be a fulfillment or a fruit that relates to what God has spoken to us. Isn't that beautiful? This is what happens between believers, all because of the holy seed. It is a promise. It is a substance. And it's beautiful. Okay? Now, just to conclude, turn to Matthew chapter 2. Something else happens in Matthew chapter 2. There is another kind of a coming together. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 2 verse 13. It says, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be there till I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Think about this. This is actually a picture of the believer and the world. This is a picture of the believer and the world because of the young child. Luke 1 is a picture of the association, the communion of two believers because of the young child. One involves fellowship, the other involves enmity. This is the proper balance for our life. If any man loves the word of God says he is an enemy of God. That is why in Acts chapter 2 verse 40, Peter said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Herod is an Edomite. He is a descendant of Esau. And we know about what Esau did. He sold his birthright for a mess of pottage, right? He loved the soup more than what he had spiritually been granted to him. And he is a picture of a spirit of worldliness. That's why Jesus said, beware of the leaven of Herod, Pharisees, Sadducees, and Herod. He is a picture of materialism, of sensuality, of pride, of perversion, of pollution, etc. And Herod will seek the young child for what? To kiss him? No, to destroy him. Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. It is no different today. It is no different today. Now the point is this. How is it that we can discern the spirit of Herod? It's a big question. How is it that we can actually discern the spirit of Herod? In Matthew 2 verse 8, Herod tells the wise man who came from the east, after you go worship, bring me word again so that I may also go and worship the child. It's very subtle. It is not easy to understand. The wise men did not at that moment in time understand what was the plan of King Herod. In Ezra chapter 4 verses 1 to 5, Zerubbabel said to the people who were on the way, they were on their way returning from captivity, and he said, we will help you with the work of the temple. We will help you. We will provide provision and resources for the work of the temple. And Zerubbabel said, you have nothing to contribute to us. We have nothing in common in terms of your contribution for the work of the temple. So they hired counselors to frustrate their purpose in God in verse 5. Isn't that very interesting? Now, how is it that we can really discern the spirit of a Herod? It is no different. Herod is still seeking for the young child to destroy him. You have the holy seed inside of you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is a great hope. We are very hopeful as believers because something really happened to us at the moment of our regeneration. But the world is seeking to attack that and to destroy that. And make no mistake about it, it comes in a very subtle way. And how do we actually discern if somebody tells, give me the word, let me also come to worship. Bring me word again. It is not easily discernible unless we choose to go with God all the way. We choose to go with the young child all the way. Then we will find ourselves automatically in conflict with the spirit of Herod. Think about that. Go all the way in your identification, go all the way in your obedience to truth, and go all the way in terms of your witness. You will find yourself in conflict with Herod because that is the testimony of the scripture, but Herod will not succeed in destroying the child. The young child will prevail over the spirit of the world, but it will be through wounding. It had to be through death that Jesus could deliver us. In Galatians chapter 1 verse 4, through death, Jesus delivered us from this present evil world. Galatians 5:24, we are crucified to the world and the world is crucified unto us. So number one, identification. Jesus said in John 17 verse 14, you are not of the world. You are in the world, but you are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. John 15 verse 18, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. John 15 verse 18. And by the way, in John 15:24, the world will hate us freely, without a cause. That is the word for the word grace. Lord, the world will graciously hate us. Free gift. It's called hatred from the world. Number one, we are identified with Jesus Christ. Is that amazing? Go all the way in terms of who we are identified with. We don't need another spirit. It's not worth it. We don't need another spirit. If Christ is our substance, let him be our substance thereof. That would mean we would face like maybe in our own family, probably we would face confrontation and we would face questions and doubts. But how is it possible that we can have an effective witness toward them if we are in compromise with the spirit of the world? Our witness will have no power. It will have no impact. So the first thing to understand or to discern the spirit of Herod and to have and to share in the triumphs of Jesus Christ, number one, is to enter into total identification with Christ. If the world hates you, do not marvel, because it hated me before it hated you. And we are identified with Christ, and therefore the world hates you. Then in terms of obedience to truth, the word of God says in John chapter 3 verse 20, the people hate the light. They hate the light. And therefore, why do they hate the light? Because their deeds were evil. They love the world. They love what the world has to offer. You remember, there is a way that seems right unto a man in Proverbs 14:12. But the end thereof are the ways of death, because the course of this world does not look sinful in its... At the first look, it doesn't look sinful, but then it has the purpose of actually destroying the holy seed that is in you. Destroying or bringing it to naught as far as the realization of the purpose of the holy seed that is in you. It must be our obedience to truth. It must be our... And by the way, the third one, I'll tell you, go all the way with the young child. Okay? Jesus, go all the way in terms of your witness. Turn to John chapter 7 and we'll close with this. And we don't have to be intimidated, but this is the truth. Go all the way in terms of telling what Herod is like. John 13, Jesus called him a fox. Can you imagine that? Go tell that fox, I do cures first day and second day and third day, I shall rise again. That's a good name, no, for Herod. John chapter 7 verse 7, I'll just read it. The world cannot hate you. This is what Jesus said. But me it hates. Why? Because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. We have a witness given to us. Go all the way with the young child with your witness. And when we make a heartfelt witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, it would also, our witness for Jesus Christ would also involve testifying that the works of the world system are evil. You know, the world system's approach is to corrupt and to destroy. It starts with corruption and then to destroy. But we must go all the way with the young child and not with Herod. If we have to discern the spirit of Herod that is subtle, that is polluting, that is corrupting, and that has such inward demonic hatred against a young child and the word of God and the purposes of God and the church and God's people and God's ways, then we must go all the way with the young child and not stand in between having 50% of Herod and 50% of the young child. That will not help. Go all the way with your identification. Go all the way with your obedience to truth. God said it. We don't overthink. See, sometimes the problem with us as believers, and that is the problem of the age. The rationalism of the age is too much of overthinking rather than faith. Too much of overthinking only results in a form of procrastination rather than decisions of faith in terms of obedience. And we don't need to go there. God said it. Go all. We can go all. Today, the Herod, the spirit of Herod is out there to destroy the young child. It is there. But it is not immediately discerned. It is very subtle. You go to MG Road for soul winning. You got to guard your heart. We go to Common Early for soul winning. You got to guard your heart. Because we also see the spirit of the world. But then God has given, because of our identification with Christ, because of our obedience to truth, and because of the power of our witness, it is not Herod that will destroy the young child, but the young child will prevail over Herod in our lives, isn't it? So here we have the young child becomes a beautiful point of focus. Because of the holy seed, because of the holy seed, the young child in you, what happens between Elizabeth and Mary? Beautiful, isn't it? There is a calling, there is a, what did we say? Visitation, there's an impartation, there's fellowship, and there is eventually the fact of fulfillment of what God has spoken. Beautiful, it happens. Spirit of Elizabeth and spirit of Mary is amazing, and that's because of the Holy Child. Herod is in conflict with the believer. The spirit of Herod is in conflict with the believer. Why? Because of the young child. Because of the Holy Seed. That is also there. So Matthew 2 beautifully depicts the hatred of the world that comes against the young child because of what we stand for in identification, in obedience, and in terms of witness. If we have to bear witness that the world, the works of the world system are evil, fear not, bear witness. Bear witness, because hatred of the world is one amazing evidence that you're walking with God. That's what Jesus said. I bear witness about the world. And what is the witness that I bear? That the works of the world are evil. And he didn't mince words. And therefore I'm hated. You want to enter into identification and obedience to me? You bear the same witness. Our testimony for Jesus Christ, our testimony for gospel. When we go and share the gospel, there is also that witness that comes forth very clear. And we can't overthink, we can't rationalize and get people confused in terms of what they're hearing. But it must be as crystal clear as possible. Isn't it? So we have Herod versus the believer because of the Holy Seed. But we also have Mary and Elizabeth. Mary is not against, it's not Elizabeth versus Mary. It's Mary and Elizabeth together. Mary and Elizabeth together in fellowship and in anticipation of what God would fulfill in terms of what God has spoken to them because of the Holy Seed. Amen. Matthew 2 depicts believer versus the world. Luke 1 depicts believers in beautiful fellowship and communion, all because of the Holy Seed. You know, when Simeon lifted the child in the temple, when he was presented in the temple, he said, this child is set for the rise and fall of many, and the thoughts of many hearts would be revealed. But we are on the side of Elizabeth and Mary. We have a calling in God. We are called by grace. God will visit us, and let's expect that. Let's live in anticipation of that. God will visit us. He will speak to us. He will direct our steps, and there'll be a peace that will empower our soul in terms of what God has spoken. It will result in a specific impartation. I'm believing God for a specific impartation to my soul this season. Not like how it was before, but something specific. And we all can believe that. Yeah, thank God for the yesterdays of our life, but thank God for what God can do with us this season. In the book of Proverbs 24, it says, your expectation shall not be cut off. We have it because God wants to visit our spirits and speak his nature and character into our hearts in a very specific way. And it will spontaneously result in incredible fellowship, not with the world. No, we have, you have nothing to do with us. That's what Zerubbabel said. But in the body of Christ. And then there is also an anticipation of the fulfillment of what the Lord has spoken. Amen. So we will end the message here. Thank God for the way the Holy Spirit has penned down these thoughts beautifully. And the Holy Child, or the young child, or the Holy Seed, that is our promise and that is our substance. Because it's our promise and our substance, Elizabeth and Mary are together. Because the Holy Seed is the promise and substance, you are at odds with the spirit of Herod. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we pray you would bless these thoughts to our hearts and just really quicken us, God. We thank you for what you speak, how you minister to our spirits. And in this day and age, we want to build in an amazing way recognize the significance of the value and the significance of who you are in our lives. Because people are lost out there. People are lost. They need salvation. But if the gospel is a power of God unto salvation, keep us in a place of identification with you, obedience to you, and a total witness without compromise, without getting trapped with the subtlety of the course of this world. Keep us in a place of total witness. And that witness would also bring in the difference between what the world system is and who you are. We thank you, we praise you, and bless these thoughts to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's take the offering. We have an offering song.